B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
This is Brian Zanchuk. This is my partner, Brian.
Okay.
We're in over at Culture there in the Northeast together. And also, he serves as my muscle.
So he'll be at Burger Brawl, maybe actually brawling with people.
Yes.
You never know. Now, what I appreciate about Chris is that he and I have had communication before. I was unaware that this was that Chris. But we enjoy the movie Dirty Work.
Absolutely.
It's a phenomenon. I don't know how it didn't win Best Picture that year.
Who's that dude?
So, Chris, you're like a dynasty already at Burger Brawl.
Yeah, we try to do something different every year instead of just going with... I mean, we could just stay with the same one because apparently the people like it, but we just try to keep it fresh, do different, you know, come up with something every year.
Do you remember your first burger? I'm going to ask everybody this. Do you remember your first time? Do you remember your first one?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, really? Go for it.
My grandpa, like, my mom cannot cook at all. I'm sorry, Mom. My pop used to, you know, grill all the time. So that's where I got my passion for this stuff from. And a lot of after baseball McDonald's trips that I'm not too happy about, but, you know.
That's all right. That was just the base.
Yeah.
That was just the base, and you took it to another level.
That's it.
This is awesome. Chris Service is how you say it?
Yes.
Chris Service, Culture on the Circle, Burger Brawl, September 15th, new location at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, as Burger Brawl is back, and it's all benefiting a phenomenal cause, the Philadelphia School District. Rob, yeah.
Yeah, and just one last time, guys, for right now, up to August 2nd, you have tickets on sale for $30 rather than the $45. We can't do this without guys like you, Mark, Trey. You guys are amazing. You're helping us out. The bank is helping us out. Cisco is helping us out. The Navy Yard is helping us out. And I think that's it. I think we're looking to have just a great time this year. All the funds go to get technology, computers, computer labs. It's an amazing time, and we just have a blast. And we're expecting about 5,000 people. How can you go wrong with that?
You can't go wrong. You eat some burgers. Right? You tour the different burgers, you go around, you sample them, and then all of a sudden you're also helping the kids get better technology in school.
Exactly.
Who's losing here? Other than the Phillies. Who's losing? Who's losing is the question. Rob, it's always great to see you.
Chris, thanks, guys.
Chris, great to meet you face-to-face, my man.
Thank you, guys.
And good luck to you guys at Burger Brawl. I'll see you guys there. You and your muscle. What was Mr. Tony's name over here?
Brian.
Brian. Mr. Brian. Mr. Brian, thank you guys for coming in, and we appreciate you guys stopping by with these phenomenal burgers. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
610-632-0975, September 15th, Burger Brawl at the Philadelphia Navy Yard benefiting the Philadelphia School District. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We got into that Ben Simmons conversation just a second ago here. Been talking about that max extension. We had talked about that weeks ago when it was originally reported, about 2 weeks ago. We went into free agency in the NBA with the expectation for something good to happen, right? And we were waiting to see what would actually happen with Al Horford, with Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and all that. And one of the first little things that came across was that the Sixers are negotiating terms on a max deal, rookie deal, for Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, EB, Chief Beef, what's going on here, man? Where are the priorities? Evidently, this was numero uno.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll also try to get some further clarity.
Yeah, I think that was planned out.
From Elton Brand, when he said it'll all make sense soon.
And it'll make sense soon.
Has soon happened
I
already?
Think this was his plan all along. When he said that, yeah. I think exactly what they unveiled on Friday is what he had in mind.
Evidence is starting to very much suggest that.
Yeah, something tells me Ben didn't want to play with Jimmy.
But is it soon, or is soon still about to happen?
Like, no, it makes sense now.
But there's no other move.
I think Kyle Korver is going to be there.
There's another move
coming. And then they'll make another move in season if need be to plump up that bench. Well,
but I think the making sense part was, our future is with Ben Simmons, and we're riding him, and he and Jimmy Butler takes away too much from him, so we're riding him. I think that's what Elton Brand was saying with that.
So Chief Beef's got something up his sleeve?
Chief Beef!
He'll join us in, 55 minutes.
Six. But if you see a guy like
minutes.
Kyle Korver come
here. Oh, yeah, just turned. Sorry, 56 minutes.
A veteran that's ring chasing that would be taking veteran minimum money to chase. That's a really good sign.
And still a Dreamboat haircut. Am I wrong? Come on, tell me I'm wrong.
Life's a circle. Complete it, Kyle. Come back.
Man's a Dreamboat.
And if anybody says J.R. Smith, for the record, I'm hanging up on you and I'm dumping it so it doesn't even go out over
the
airwaves.
I thought you loved J.R. Smith. No. I thought you wanted J.R. Smith.
That was one of the first
Smith.
Questions I asked Jamie this morning when we got in. J.R. Smith, he's like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. No. We have no shortage of dummies as it is playing for our sports teams. I don't need a guy to forget which way he was going. You know what I'm saying?
Just at the most crucial point of a game.
He was trying to make a play.
Nah. He's a chucker.
JR, we're down this end. I miss Guzzi. I believe that's what he said to LeBron James when we called him out for that. But speaking of players that really don't have, can't identify their head, which is that lump 3 feet above your ass, if you didn't know, Scott and Barrington was actually down there last night for the awfulness. Yo, Scott.
Oh, man, Brother Mark. I thought I was watching a tennis match, man.
Oof.
The balls are flat. And all those Dodgers fans, I can't say that because us Eagles fans, we've been doing it. But I got on the bus this morning. The driver said, well, we do it too. So, yeah, they were just a little, they start their own wave. I'm like, dude, it's supposed to go all the way around. It's just going to go halfway. But they were out there in full force. Brother Trey and Gemini of the Joy, what's going on this morning?
We good, man. We're good.
Yeah, but it just got ugly last night.
No, Scott, that's the worst thing that you can experience as a fan.
Yep.
Another fan base coming in. And it wasn't a Dodger takeover. It was a Phillies retreat. They didn't invade. We just were like, we're good. And we all hyped on our bikes and we left town. That's what happened. And that's embarrassing. When another team, when their fans take over your stadium, where they're the loudest fans in the room or the loudest fans in the building, there's nothing more embarrassing than that.
Yeah, at least they had something to cheer for. Because I did want to. What you interviewed me for, Brother Mark? That's what I did last.
Oh, what did you do? You walked around and you checked out the ladies.
Man, Big Steve did too. My bodyguard was there with me last night.
Oh, good.
It got so ugly last night, but they packed it, and I kind of agree. But Brother Trey was saying, of course, you play professional sports, brother. Just see what take inventory now. That's my new thing. Take inventory now. But they packed it in. They packed it in. I hate to say that, but moving on to something bigger and better. With the Sixers, I can understand the Ben Simmons thing is all starting to come to sense, like you said, Brother Mark, and some of your steal my thunder. You do it now. I just hope it doesn't take him towards the end of his career. But it took Tony Parker. He's an all-star, of course, Hall of Famer. But no, hopefully he'll learn that thing. But you do it now. And you don't have to worry about that down the road. So I understand that. Brother Mark, last but not least, you got some kind of concept when those Burger Broad things. I came in short.
Okay, here you go. We need you to give us a Will Ferrell movie quote in honor of his 52nd birthday.
Okay.
Will Ferrell movie quote that sums up the Philly season.
Yes, I'm going to have to pass it. He's a nice guy, but I'm not too many of his movies.
No, no worries, Scott. We'll get you another time, brother. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. But let me just set the scene for a second. All right? I'm painting the baby's room last night. Right? I'm taking care of my family is what I'm doing. And I got the Phillies game on the surface. I'm watching it on the stream. And
the Xfinity stream app is phenomenal.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good app.
I loved it. And I'm watching it, and I see the bases loaded in the first inning on Clayton Kershaw. I was like, Phillies got him on the ropes. Come up small. Then I watch him in the third inning. Philly's got him on the ropes. Bases loaded. Mikel Franco battling at home plate. Battling. Doesn't bust it down the first baseline when you have Turner throwing it over the first baseman almost. And you can't capitalize on that. You fail. And Mikel Franco doesn't even hustle out of the box. It was a situation last night that I couldn't believe that Philly's players wouldn't admit that it was embarrassing. They got asked time and time again. Bryce Harper, yeah. Gabe Kapler, Zach Eflin. No, we're good. Not embarrassing. How is it not embarrassing? And when everything comes to a head the way it came last night, after an offseason where you're supposedly all in with stupid money and all that stuff, how does it come down to this where you get embarrassed at home against, yeah, sure, the best team in baseball, but you get out-hustled by the best team in baseball that had, 4:30 in the morning they got into town?
Yeah.
After a six-hour game the night before?
Not only out-hustled, but out-smarted.
Out a thousand out times
everything.
Over.
Yeah, out everything.
You get blown out the way you did. You don't hustle like Michael Franco didn't hustle. You can't remember how many outs are in an inning, like they couldn't remember in the fourth inning. You get outmanaged by Dave Roberts. We've mentioned this throughout the show today. The bunt confused the hell out of Rhys Hoskins and Cesar Hernandez. The way that Gabe Kapler explained it after the game, it sounded like it was actually Rhys Hoskins' fault. Like he wasn't supposed to charge the ball when it was hit back to the pitcher.
He wasn't.
So then Cesar Hernandez is trying to cover at the last minute. He's standing by his second base. He's not making it over
to
first.
He was covering second. It was physically impossible for him to get the first.
Like covering, like people have been, well, he's a second baseman. Of course he is. No, he was standing behind second base, like in center field.
Yeah.
So I guess Rhys Hoskins on a play that Gabe Kapler said they practiced time and time again, when I have no idea when these guys are practicing.
Hoskins' head was in the clouds there. That's 100% on him. And are we really going to hide behind this Franco groin injury today?
No. Well, no, that's BS. Did he stay in the game?
Yes.
So how bad was the injury?
Exactly. Because if he starts tonight, I might check out on the rest of the season.
I started painting with aggression. I painted my beautiful soon-to-be daughter's room with aggression and anger.
Trey, you're a painter. How do you paint with aggression?
You can't.
Violent strokes.
Yeah. I'll show you.
Painting has to
be. I'll show you.
You have to let it
flow. You have to be in a zen-like mode.
Oh, I'm no artist. I'm a painter. I'm not an artist.
You're not a painter either.
I'm a painter. Did I not paint last night?
You have to let it flow, man.
Oh, no, there was no flow.
Yeah.
I'm painting this like light gray color my wife likes, and I'm painting it, and I'm just like,
fat ass.
I can't wait to tell my daughter when she gets old, like, hey, by the way, I was really pissed off when I painted her room. Thank you for providing me that.
How many games has it been since the Philly scored 16 runs? Like a good 5 or 6?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Since they scored 16 runs?
Yeah. How many games has it been?
Seven runs in the series against the Nationals.
Oh, you mean add up?
Yeah. Like how many games it took for what the Dodgers did in one night?
Oh,
it's got to be at least six games.
I would not have thought of this. Why are you peeing on the parade?
I like to torture myself.
It's already raining. I don't care what Gabe Kapler said about the sun coming up the next day.
You want me to torture you even more? Andrew Knapp was taken in the second round. Cody Bellinger went in the fourth.
I see. You're a jerk.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Why when I'm already... Like, I already told you about painting aggressively.
I know.
So now I'm going to go home and like paint the whole house. Just to let out the aggression even more. We got Mark in Blackwood wants to talk some Phillies. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. In honor of Will Ferrell's 52nd birthday today. So maybe he'll have a little fun. We're just trying to sum up this Philly season to this point with a Will Ferrell movie quote. Doesn't have to be Will Ferrell saying it. Just has to be from a Will Ferrell movie. That, and I'm going to finish this amazing burger from Culture on the Circle.
So good.
It is just ridiculous. 610-632-0975. Coming up 9 o'clock. We'll talk to Elton Brand, Chief Beef himself.
Chief Beef!
76ers GM. Time of the Fanatic, 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What's your favorite Will Ferrell movie, Trey? Do you have a favorite one? Not Another Man's Birthday and how pissed we are at the Phillies? Is this something light to make me feel better about life other than the burger I just devoured?
It was a Talladega Nights. It was funny. Really like Talladega Nights.
Shake and bake.
I mean, I wake up in the morning and I piss excellence.
I mean, Step Brothers was awesome. Boats and Hoes.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria. Anyway,
I'll give you the most underrated one.
What's underrated?
The Other Guys.
You know what? You're right.
It's a phenomenal comedy.
I watched that movie and I was like, this wasn't that good. And then I find myself...
It grows on you.
Yeah, I find myself quoting it all the time.
And I drive a Prius, so Dirty Mike and the Boys is a recurring joke in my life. It's a great movie.
Looks like Scarface sneezed on your car.
Looks like a raccoon gave birth with a placenta on your back window.
These are all great lines. Bob Cooney, do you have a favorite Will Ferrell movie?
Back to School is right up there.
That's not Rodney Dangerfield, Bob.
It's Old School.
I mean Old School. I'm sorry.
We're not going Mel and Triple Bundy's here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
old school, and but Elf is right up there.
Elf is a wonderful.
I love Elf.
It was an instant classic. John Favreau.
Yeah,
I think he directed that. Did he not?
I believe he did.
Yeah, he also played the Doctor. It's a boy. Yeah.
Anchorman is high on the list.
Yeah.
Anchorman's
good.
Anchorman was one of those movies in college where a lot of people were like, oh, you have to see this movie. I graduated from Temple in 05, and I think the movie came out in 04. And my friends were like, you have to see this movie. I finally saw it, and I was like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen. Yeah. I could just picture Will Ferrell like in his basement with Adam McKay writing the movie and just laughing with each other.
Do you know he has an Anchorman podcast now?
Yes, I did. Burgundy podcast.
Yeah,
he also wrote a book. And one of the chapters is how to survive a prison riot. That's a great chapter.
San Diego. A whale's vagina.
You can't not say anything San Diego. Like, anytime the Padres come to town or...
San Diego.
Like, I'm like, that's the only reason I'm glad the Chargers are no longer in San Diego. Because it's just one less time I will reference it, and it won't get as old, and it'll still stay a little crisp.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. Mark in Blackwood, what's on your mind today about those Phillies, brother?
I'm going to start off by saying I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Definitely. You're getting FanFest tickets. Definitely. What do you got, my friend?
I've been sticking up for Gabe for a while, you know, not blaming him for the failures of the season with an injury-plagued bullpen and, you know, starting players. But now, after last night, not watching Mike Alfranco run that ball out, I turned the game off, and I was like, this is it. I think this is he has to have some fire or show some kind of emotion besides this all sunshine and rainbow stuff that he pulls in front of the media and all that stuff. I don't buy into that a whole lot because I think it's all smokescreen. But if I walk into that clubhouse at the game last night, I'm flipping a table. I'm doing something. I mean, how embarrassing is this?
You have no idea, Mark, the perfect segue you just provided, because nobody would acknowledge that it was embarrassing last night. Like, nobody would acknowledge that. And look, I know that a lot of people will look at it as high school Harry stuff or stuff that's only for Hollywood and the movies of flipping the table over and all that. But at some point, don't you have to show how frustrated you are? And watching Gabe last night, you watch him, you know he was upset, you know he was frustrated. But what's wrong with questioning your own team's effort? Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world to acknowledge what we're all seeing.
No, and they're all adults, so they can handle it.
All right, Mark, I'm putting you on hold. You're winning FanFest tickets, my friend. Thanks for the call. You're going to FanFest on August 24th at Xfinity Live, 1 to 5 p.m. We're going to run through some of the great things going on at FanFest this year. But really, that's a perfect segue. Not even embarrassed, right?
Victoria Sobolewski, I believe I have that right.
Oh, yeah.
Sobolewski. She tweeted in her Will Ferrell quote. You sit on a throne of lies.
Oh, I have that in my notes. Keith Godburn just tweeted me one as well, and it's one that I'm thinking. It is from Step Brothers, and I just will say you have to there's a curse word, so you can't say it on the radio, but you can allude to it, and all I have to say is this wedding, and that's all I'll say. I'll stop right there. I'll stop. And I will say I was at a wedding one time where I repeated that phrase over and over again in my drunken state, and I didn't realize I was sitting next to mother of the groom.
Oh.
And she was like, oh, did you have a bad time? I was like, what? Oh my God. No.
No.
It's from a movie. I'm sorry. And then I patched things up.
I love you, Dad.
And then I danced with her, and we were all good.
Donna sent one that she sent from a Will Ferrell movie that she said Gabe Kapler should have said last night after the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you want to give a hint to it?
It's from Elf.
Classic.
Uh-huh.
All right.
It's from Elf.
Okay.
It's something that Kapler should say about himself.
Very classic. Very classic.
Uh-huh.
In terms of a perfect segue to the word embarrassing, as a Phillies fan, like, I'm embarrassed for my team.
I would have been embarrassed if it was just local TV last night. The fact that it was the national game on ESPN, mm-hmm. I was doubly embarrassed Phillies fan.
That adds to it being the lowest of lows.
Like
that it was on national TV and that the Dodgers fans came in here and absolutely raped the
commentators
stadium.
Were destroying them. It was David Ross, Kirk Gin, and somebody. And when Franco didn't hustle, they shredded him. They basically brought Gabe into it. They brought how many Dodgers fans were in. They were just destroying the Phillies last night, and rightfully so.
And Tim Kirchin was doing it with the live ball era?
Yeah.
That whole thing?
I do love Tim Kirchin.
I love his laugh.
I love me some Tim Kirchin. But apparently they dumped out of the game early to go to a different game. At least
yeah,
that's
they
what
did.
People
all
did
the time.
Really?
They were checking in on the Brewers score from time to time, and then they were checking in on the Yankees score.
Well, like
anything
I said,
to get away from that, because that was not a baseball game last night.
Like I said, I was streaming the game on the My Teams app, and it was just awful. It made me paint with great aggression last night.
Can't do that much.
So, you know, it should be calming. It should be almost therapeutic to paint, right? So you're
it
doing something.
Be, yes. And that's why Trey is so good at it.
And it's just painting a room. I'm not an artist time. Like Trey. I haven't done the portrait. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I know. It Switch. It got lowered.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's
happened.
Been messing around.
It was on the floor one day when we came in. So, Trey's portrait. That's all right. Because from my angle now, I get the portrait is literally right over Trey's shoulder, so I get like double vision Trey.
I got to tweet out a picture of this just so people know what we're dealing with here. Uh-huh. Just so, because the picture has moved. There we go.
Trey's some pose.
All right, well, I'll tweet that out in a second. But so, embarrassing. We can all admit it, right? Like, if you're a Phillies fan, you're embarrassed for your team. If you're a member of this fan base and you hear other fans chanting "Thank you, Philly" for either sucking at baseball or getting Bryce Harper and not the Dodgers fan base, that's embarrassing. Like, there's no other word for it. But after the game last night, let's check with Gabe Kapler when he was asked about whether or not the game was embarrassing. Well, I'm sure he was.
Oh no, we suck again.
I'm sure he was embarrassed, right? Gabe, you were embarrassed.
Embarrassing. Certainly not encouraging.
Not helpful, Gabe. Not helpful. Wouldn't say embarrassed. Oh, not encouraging. How about this one? How about Bryce Harper, the $330 million man? Hey, Bryce, you a little embarrassed after last night?
No. I mean, it's one game.
Ah, what about that Zach Eflin character? Is everybody pissed off in the clubhouse? Is everybody angry? Is anybody panicking?
No feeling. We're all calm. There's no need to panic. We know how good we're going to be, and, you know, it's just going to, you know, it's going to take that one time, that one game, that everything clicks, and, you know, and then it's going to be a fun rest of the year.
Outplayed, out-hustled, and outsmarted. All three of the things that matter most, they failed. Abysmal. Awful. Every ounce of it.
What
and
makes
nobody's
them think
embarrassed.
That they're going to be good. What are you putting your hands around? What are you holding on to from this team this year that says, no, but you know what? We're going to be really good.
Mm.
Because from what I see now, you have one pitcher. In the last 19 starts, not counting Aaron Nola, 6.87 ERA from the starting pitchers. You have a cleanup hitter who has loves to walk. Loves to walk. Wants to walk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to be driving in runs.
Yeah.
You're 91st in baseball with hitting with runners in scoring position. Drive in the runs. You ain't doing that on walks, bruh.
But they say it's only one game out of a lot. So, all right, you lost yesterday, 16-2. Then on July 4th, you lost 12-6. Then June 16th, you lost 15-1. June 10th, you lost 13-8. Let's go all the way back to May. You lost 11-3. May 4th, 10-8. Let's see. April? 13th, 10-3. April 10th, 15-1. And April 9th, 10-6.
Yeah.
It's a lot of runs.
And it, well,
it's
how
a
many,
lot of runs.
How many times have you had a position player pitch for you now?
It is four or six.
Roman Quinn out there last night.
I can't remember what Barkan said last night. It might be six.
Yeah, I think it was higher. I think it was six, yeah.
He was basically, the other stat he had too was basically the Phillies are averaging once every nine games where they allow like nine runs or more.
This is going swimmingly.
Yeah, it's fun.
This is just it's absolutely going swimmingly. And here's the thing. That really, like, aside from like not acknowledging that they were embarrassed, Gabe Kapler, when asked about what like jumped out to him about the loss, this is all he could muster.
I don't know. I don't have anything specific that stands out. I don't know. I don't have anything specific that stands out.
That means it all sucked. So you can't really pull anything out because it was evenly bad.
Yeah, but he seemed in denial about some things. Michael Franco, groin injury? Okay there, pal. Like, he stayed in the game. So he was healthy enough to play throughout the rest of the game, but couldn't hustle with the bases loaded in the third inning when you had a chance to put Clayton Kershaw on the ropes
for good in that game? Like, you were, like, Clayton Kershaw hasn't been Clayton Kershaw. And you have him in this game on the ropes in the first inning, can't capitalize. You have him on the ropes in the third inning, and Mike Alfranco can't hustle down the first baseline to the point where he would have beaten it out if he at least half hustled down the first baseline, and you would have scored a run. You would have went up 2-0. Who knows what happens after that? Maybe the floodgates open, and you actually have an opportunity to beat this team and take the first game of the four-game series. Then, you know what? Maybe people are talking a little bit. But again, lack of hustle. And will there be any accountability? Will there be any accountability for it?
If there's going to be a player that gets benched for something like this, it is. It appears to be Mike Alfranco.
Right? They do not like him.
The precedence is that he won't be benched, though.
Right. You're right. The precedence is that a player won't be benched, but the precedence is if there's any player that would, it'll be him, right? Just because the way
I don't know, he hasn't benched anybody this year.
He sat 18 of 30 starts and all that stuff. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Okay, so other things that jump out, maybe the defensive alignment that you had when Dave Roberts noticed it and had Barnes lay down the bunt. Maybe that was one thing you would have done differently. Maybe not trying to pull off the double steal where you're trying to get the out at home by throwing to second base. Maybe that would stick out just a little bit. Maybe not switching Rhys Hoskins and Bryce Harper in the batting order. Like, when one guy is driving in runs, the other guy can't do it at all.
And you're 0 for 9 with runners in scoring position last night?
Like, to me, there's a bunch of things that jump out. And I get that you're not going to call out a player. But what about just acknowledging that the team is embarrassed by losing first and foremost 16-2 and then losing the way they did against a team that showed up at 4:30 in the morning at a 6-hour game in Boston, and they hustled in this game. Cody Bellinger in this game in the ninth inning busted down the first baseline to beat Rhys Hoskins to the bag to get another run across the plate. They're already up 15-2 and he hustled to do that. Inexcusable. Let's get Anthony in New Jersey up here. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
I don't know. I guess the question I would ask is, do you think the Phillies are the worst team in the league at evaluating talent?
It certainly feels like it. I mean, I gave the numbers a couple weeks ago. The Phillies, in terms of guys they have drafted, while in Philly, they only have, I think, 3 or 4 guys in 135 years, whatever it's been, that have hit 150 home runs. Like,
they're four guys. They can't bring up anyone to help them out. I know they started off the year all right. You know, they had a good lineup, but they had a couple injuries that really just tore everything apart. But, I don't know, they got to have someone, you know what I mean? They don't have anyone, but you got to be able to at least bring up someone to help you out. I mean, like, maybe Baum could help you out, but, like, they've whiffed in the last, like, 5 drafts on people.
Look, I referenced earlier, everybody wants a farm system like the Braves, right? That seems to be the thing every single year. You want to have a farm system like the Braves. So the Phillies went out and got Johnny Amaraz, who was in the Braves front office, and that really hasn't borne any fruit. I mean, Aaron Nola, all right, yeah, he's the real deal. What else? What else do we have? Come on, guys. I'm looking for ideas here. Who else do we have here?
Cole Hamels.
Cole Hamels, yeah.
But Johnny Amaraz wasn't here for that.
I mean, was he here for Reese?
He's here for Reese.
Okay. Fifth round pick. A little bit. That's successful.
He might have already been drafted.
He might have been. that's all I got.
It's other stuff, too, though. You got, even the guys they trade away that, like, are their top prospects, they never pan out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, it's not even the guys that.
J.P. Crawford's getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, the only guy that comes to mind would be Carrasco. He turned out to be like a good pitcher, but I don't know. You go back to like Drabeck, like he was like untouchable. Brown was untouchable, and they couldn't even play in the league.
If you bring up Jason Donald and the thought of trading him, I'm hanging on.
Yeah, J.P. Crawford's come back down to earth. He was hitting 300 a couple of weeks ago. Now he's down to 268. But anyway, yeah, it's always been bad. Do you have a Will Ferrell movie quote for us to sum up this Phillies season?
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch that come to mind, but the one from Wedding Crashers when he's talking to Owen Wilson, and he's like, oh, look, honey, we're hang gliding. Oh, this is great. Oh, we're dead.
My man, not only are you getting FanFest tickets, you're getting Burger Brawl tickets. That was fantastic, brother. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. There you go. See that? We're helping everybody now.
I forgot about Blaze of Glory.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's another one that grows on you.
Yeah. Huh.
Figure skaters.
What you gonna do with all that pumps, all that hum inside? What's the line? I'm gonna get you.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Yeah. Brian Berkey just tweeted in the stat I was looking for. So the Phillies have given up 9 or more runs in 16 of the 94 games they've played this season. So roughly 1 out of every 6 games.
Wow.
They're giving up 9 runs. Think of, just digest that. I know there's a lot of burger in there. See if you can get that stat down.
Our pets' heads are falling off. I mean, really, if you're an owner of this team, if you're John Middleton,
embarrassed,
and you're watching this, and you hear after the game. Now, they know them. They know Gabe Kapler and that better than all of us, right? But you have to be embarrassed as an owner that this is the product that you like. The most exciting, and I've made this point so many times before, but I've never meant it more than I mean it right now. The offseason of the Phillies has kicked the ass of the regular season of the Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm John Middleton, I'm going to Andy McPhail's office this morning. I'd go, what is it exactly that you'd say you do here?
Well, that's the other embarrassment, that McPhail came out on Friday and said what he said, and it seemed like a complete embarrassment. You know, yeah, we spent all this money, but we're not going to do anything else because we don't really think we're close. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the hell is that?
So sell. Sell.
No, they're show not going to do anything.
Show me there's some kind of plan. Show me there's some kind of plan where this won't happen again. Because guess what? August 6th last year is when we started to really hit the fan with this team. That's when they won 19 games from August 6th to the end of the year. And now they hit that wall even earlier in the season. I was supposed to enjoy some baseball this summer. I was supposed to have some buzz back in the ballpark. Instead, I have Dodger fans thanking us for getting Bryce Harper and being terrible at baseball. Yes, this is exactly what I wanted. This is perfect. But where's that stupid money? Where's that almost all-in mentality that was preached throughout the offseason? Where is that? That we're going to have that party back at Citizens Bank Park? Where is that buzz? Where's that energy?
It went out with the losing 24 of the last 39.
Where's finding $13 million for Dallas Keuchel?
How hard is that? Don't get me started on that one.
All I know is I partied like I don't know what for the game opener. It was amazing.
What were you drinking?
Michelob Ultras.
Michelob Ultras, man.
Yeah,
we had
baby.
A blast.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
The stud of the year.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And not like the rest of the year.
Yeah, just downhill. You know? But that one right time, that first time, it was amazing.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that. Let's get Joe in writing up here. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, you guys are killing me. I've been listening to Bob and Jamie since 5 o'clock. I'm on the way to Pittsburgh today.
Oh, whoa.
Philly, and it's not getting any better. But I got one word. What's Ed Wade doing
listen to you.
He's built the Phillies and the Astros.
We're clever. Is Ed Wade still with the organization? I know he was a senior to the, an advisor to the general manager. I got to see if he's still with the team.
I don't think so.
I think he's hanging out in the coffee shop with Hickey. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
he's teaching out in Palo Alto?
Yeah. But my point, though, that I originally wanted to make was...
It ended last year, by the way, Mark. Ed Wade, at the end of 2017 season, he stopped being a special advisor to the
Phillies.
Thank you.
But my point is, they didn't quit last night. They quit coming out of the All-Star break. That egg that they laid last week gave all indication that they're packed it in for the rest of the season. They couldn't come out after that 4-day break being all refreshed and ready to go, and they still laid an egg against the Nationals, and by the grace of God, they got one game out of that series.
Yeah, so, it's awful. Do you have a movie quote for us?
Yeah, the Phillies stink like a smelly pirate hooker.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
Going right for the jugular, there Joe. Now, hold on, I got a little challenge for you, but you have to do it safely. I know when are you driving back from Pittsburgh?
Around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Oh, and you're only going to Reading, though?
Going out? I'm going to Reading. I'm going out for a meeting and turn right around.
Oh, okay. So you're not coming from Philly, in other words.
Well, Reading counts. Come on.
No. I don't mean to rival Philly. I just mean in terms of overall distance.
Yeah, no, I'm not going all the way back.
Because my personal record, and Jamie knows this, my personal record.
No, whoa.
What?
No.
What?
Oh, man, no challenge to man.
I'm not challenging, but he can't do it anyway.
No.
I did the numbers on this. No, he's going from Reading. Joe, thanks for the... I'm going to put you on hold. You want some FanFest tickets, my friend. He's going
BS.
To Reading.
Oh, okay.
I have the screen grab, Bob. I have the proof.
I checked it out. You had to average 84.7 miles an hour. Yeah?
Yeah, so?
Yeah, that sounds about normal.
Oh, really? Oh, we got tough guy drivers
Bob,
here.
Tough guy driver? What are you talking about, tough guy driver? Not a tough guy driver.
When it's 4 a.m. and there's nobody on the road.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you'd be aggressive.
Bobby.
All right, you're
Bobby.
Right.
Bobby.
Okay.
Bobby.
85 miles an
hour. Bobby. I got the screen grabs to prove it. Screen grabs.
Solid proof. Solid proof.
Pull up the Easy Pass receipt.
What's that?
If I knew how to look up those Easy Pass, I would. If I knew how to do that, I would. I'd also expense it with NBC from years ago.
You know, Bobby doesn't use Easy Pass.
Yeah, it blows my mind.
He's old school. Yeah, he's old school.
I like to talk to people.
I'm a people person.
That's right.
He asks for his receipts in parchment. That's what this really likes to do. 610-632-0975. We're going to run through some calls. Chief Beef, top of the hour, 9 o'clock.
And I said no.
Oh, no. You said yes to this interview, and we're going to talk all things 76ers, the state of the team, with our first ever morning show interview with Elton Brand while he is presiding over the 76ers as their GM. Chief Beef coming up at 9 o'clock. Time of the Fanatic now is 8:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Coming up in 7.5 minutes, we're going to talk to 76ers general manager Chief Beef.
And I said no.
Elton Brand. I want to know when he said that all makes sense soon, right around the draft, right after the draft, that all makes sense soon, freed up some money. How close are we to the making sense part of it? Because I think a lot of it has made sense.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you.
But there's a plan in place, obviously. How close, letter of the law type of close to the plan have we been since that moment?
I think exactly the way he envisioned.
Now look, a lot of people say, well, what's he going to say after everything's happened? But he can hint at, you know, certain things he wished he could have done.
Well, here's what happened. Tobias's ESPN story was ready 30 seconds after he signed. Yeah. That was already done.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, the Miami rumors started leaking 3-4 days in advance. I'm sure that was already done 2 weeks in advance.
The NBA, where tampering, not a thing.
Yeah. So everything happened very quickly. So that tells me that was his plan A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think his saying it's going to make sense. They just knew that it was absolutely Ben Simmons who they were riding with. They knew that Jimmy Butler didn't fit with Ben Simmons, and instead of complicating things on their end by saying, well, let's try it, or let's go with Butler instead of Simmons, they said, nah, Ben, this is your team. Here we go.
All right. Now, well, we'll get into that.
So Bobby, is he okay with the Chief Beef?
Am I okay with Chief Beef?
No. It's Elton. He's okay with Chief Beef.
He said so.
All right, cool. I just want to make sure. I think it's
Mr. Chief Beef.
Yeah,
His Eminence Chief Beef.
We saw it go in Chief Beef, and he's like, whoa.
Well, when I was also texting with the Sixers PR people to make sure Chief Beef could come on, I did say, as a matter of fact, we cannot wait for Chief Beef.
There you go. All right, cool.
Just and they're like, no way, that's what we call him too. All right, we'll talk to him coming up. I also want to know if he can let us in on, hey, maybe what could be next with the Sixers? And then the obvious of the obvious is, hey, when's Ben Simmons going to get that jumper? Thank you. That's the other one, yes. Let's get to Andre in Philly. What's up, brother? Yo, Andre.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First of all, I love your show.
Thanks, brother.
It's been a while, so I definitely love your show. I just want to talk, I touched on it right before the break, too, as well. It's nothing's going to happen to Gabe because Andy McFell on Friday said, if we do, we do make the playoffs. And it comes from the top bottom. So if he doesn't care, none of the team's going to care. I mean, that's my view.
Yeah. It continues to be weird to me that the president of the team comes out and talks. The team goes, let's see here, 4-5 after he talks, look listless in a game where another team should look lethargic and they out-hustle you, the Dodgers. I know they're like the best team in baseball and all that. But they come out and absolutely take it to you in every facet of the game. And you're supposed to look at this manager as if he's in control? Like, look, exactly. I understand that, you know, it's up to the players to play and all that, but managers should be there to motivate the guys that can't motivate themselves. I know that sounds like ludicrous to talk about that with professional athletes, but there's a reason why there's a manager in the game. And it's to get the best out of those players. And right now, I've said this word all morning, Gabe Kapler, to me, comes off as a complete pushover in this clubhouse.
100%. And you need managers and coaching staff, especially when you're making that much money, because when you make money, you're not motivated. You made your money already. You did the hard work to get your $180 million, i.e. Ben Simmons, and now what if you never get the jump shot? Who cares?
I think he's going to come back with the jump shot. You can call me naive, but I've seen the guy work on it in person, and I feel like if he's going to spend his offseason working on that stuff, then he's going to come back a much better player when he's comfortable with that mid-range game, and I think we're going to get that from Elton Brand in a few. Do you have a quote for us from a Will Ferrell movie?
Yes, from Talladega Nights. And this city, you know, still we love winners, so you got to win to get love. I mean, that's just life.
There you go, Andre. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Let's get Andrew in Downingtown up here. Andre just won some FanFest tickets. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
Here today.
Yeah, man.
The question, it's a question, and I'll give you a quote. But the question is, when they get blown out like this, they come out looking great, and they have hustle, and then by the end, it's just dreck. What changes?
Their spirits. They get beat down. I mean, you know, you could just see it where once they start seeing, like, the guys are just pounding on them, then they just kind of, you can see the players that are just ready to, like, all right, I'm ready to fold up.
And what can Gabe do to fix that, aside from, I don't know.
Holding players accountable, I think, is a big part of it.
I struggle with what can the manager do. And people say, you know, how's he motivating them? And Trey, you've alluded to this. They're professionals. They should be self-motivated. Yeah. My thing is, do they like coming into a locker room where he is? It's not that he's motivating them. It's that they're not motivated to play for him. Mm-hmm. Like, if you come into a room and you want to play for a coach or you like a coach, there it is. Battle done. But if you come in and you're like, oh, this guy, he's going to say something stupid. I don't care. Well, that's then you're lost.
Yeah. Curveball machine.
Yeah.
Which was a direct quote from Bryce Harper when he was asked about that. So, yeah, it's just a matter of that guy not getting in the player's way, and I feel like he gets in the player's way. There we go. Andrew, do you have a Will Ferrell movie quote for us that could sum up the Phillies season?
It's a quote, but it's also a bit. It's when he's Mustafa the Assassin from Austin Powers, and he just dies so slowly. You shot me in the leg.
I'm very badly burned. Yes, that, Andrew, perfect. You're in the right. You've won FanFest tickets there, my friend. That is a phenomenal scene. Lyle wants to get in some Eagles conversation here with you, Trey. Lyle in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on? I want to talk about, why do you think the Eagles ain't extending Malcolm Jenkins?
Well, restructuring, I think, is what he wants. More money. I don't know why that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the situation is with that. I don't know if they're... I really don't know. I have no answer. I don't even want to give you a BS one.
There we go.
Do you think that it's going to cause a bad karma in the locker room going in?
No, I don't think so. I think Malcolm is a professional. I think he's going to come in there and do what he needs to do. That's why he went ahead and came to the mandatory camp. So, I mean, you know, this is just how business is. I mean, you tried to force their hand. They didn't fold. So now you're going to see, you know, what the deal is. All you can do is just go out there and perform and try to win.
Lyle, do you have a quote for us?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.